Amen, amen. How's everybody doing? Praise God. We're going to go get into a word of prayer, and we're going to get right into the lesson for today. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that this is the day that you have made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And we thank you for his redemptive work on the cross, Lord God. We thank you for his ascension, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, that he's given gifts unto men, Lord God. And we thank you right now, Lord God, that we're following his mandate, going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature, Lord God. And we thank you right now, Lord God, for apostolic authority, Lord God, and apostolic government. We thank you for our apostle, Lord God, and we thank you for what he's doing and the assignment that God has given him, Lord God. Oh, we just give you the praise, Lord God. I thank you for each student here in this class, Lord God, that as they learn and as they grow and study, Lord God, they're better equipped, Lord God, to go about and to do the work of the ministry, Lord God. We just give you all the praise and all the glory. And Lord God, as always, Father, I just thank you that the Holy Spirit, I just thank you for showing up, because if you don't show up, I'll fall flat on my face. I continually depend upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, this class session, we're going to kind of not necessarily take a detour, because what we're going to still be talking about honor and the penalties of dishonor. But one of the things the author stated in one of the chapters, he talked about loyalty, how loyalty is very important. And there was a book that I had picked up on that talked about loyalty. Matter of fact, what we're going to be talking about will not be in your books, but it will be coming from a book by, I'm going to give you the author's name. You don't need to get the book, but just in case you just for your own personal study, the book is called Loyalty Versus Disloyalty. And the author's name is G, I just went off, G, D-A-G, just a minute, let me get it back. Give me a second. All right. The author's D-A-G Stuart Mills. This is how the book, I don't know if you can see it. It went off again. Here it goes. It's gonna flip on me. Yeah, there it goes. But it's called Loyalty Versus Disloyalty. And that's what we're going to be for the next week or two. We'll be talking about that subject. Amen. One of the things about loyalty, a lot of times a person's loyalty will, if not corrected, I shouldn't say not loyalty, but disloyalty, if not corrected in a person's behavior and a person's action, will eventually lead to dishonor. Matter of fact, disloyalty actually opens the door to dishonor. You know, it's like the beginning stages. There's a blatant dishonor. And that's dishonor that's very obvious. A good example of that would be Saul. When Saul was told by the prophet Samuel to utterly kill the Amalekites and to spare nothing, you know, kill everything. But he kept King Agapi, I think it was, and he kept the best of the spoils for himself because he feared the people. Well, he blatantly disobeyed and walked in dishonor because of this his disobedience. But then there's also areas of disloyalty that's more subtle. A good example of that would be Judas. You know, Judas followed Jesus. He was one of the 12 apostles. And really just up until the end, one of the first signs of him showing any hint of probably disloyalty was when the lady broke the alabaster box and he blurted out, you know, this precious ointment could have been sold and the money given to the poor. And Jesus said that the poor you have with you always, but me you won't have with you always. In other words, don't be so. He was a treasurer, but he was all fickly about the money. And as we know, he betrayed Jesus for a few pieces of silver. You know, but his disloyalty was more subtle. You know, even the 12, the other 11 apostles, didn't really detect, because Jesus said at the Last Supper that one of you is going to deceive me. One of you, you know, is going to betray me. And they said, Lord, is it me? Is it me? So they didn't even know, you know, but there are signs of disloyalty in a member, you know, or a person who may have been committed at one point. And what we want to do is look at the differences between loyalty and disloyalty. And know how to spot it and hopefully be able to turn it in individuals. But at the same time, you know, if a person is disloyal, they're going to eventually do something or say something that's going to lead and bring them to dishonor. Amen? Amen. All right. Let me give you a definition of loyalty. And I'm going to try to take my time with this. Like I said, the next two to three sessions we'll be dealing with this, but it's still all under the main frame of honor, but it's the more subtle things that happen before dishonor actually takes place. Okay, loyalty. The state or quality of being loyal, faithful, one who is full of faithfulness and commitment to a cause, somebody who has steadfastness, sticking to one's assignment, committed to an obligation. That's a loyal person. A loyal person is also faithful to a committed vision. When you're faithful to a committed vision that God's called you to, if God's called you to serve at a particular church or a particular ministry, you're going to be faithful at the work and at the assignment God called you to. If your pastor gives you an assignment, you're going to be faithful to that assignment, and you're going to carry that assignment out, and you're going to give it your full undivided, you know, you're going to put all yourself into it. That's a loyal person, somebody who can be trusted. Loyalty also is displayed in one's consecration, a solemn commitment of your life and your time into something that's a cherished purpose, to a service or a goal, a mission or a vision. One's commitment and consecration to one's leader, one's pastor, a prophet, or an apostle, being faithful to you know, a man of God, having and showing complete and constant support. A person who's loyal, no matter which direction their man of God turns and goes in, they're going to turn and go in that direction. That's loyalty. You know, a loyal person, you know, they're not going to talk about you behind your back. They're going to support you, you know. And one of the things, you see, when you walk in loyalty, you know, honor is knocking at your door, because loyalty will open the door for honor. If you continue to be loyal and serve faithfully, you know, to your appointed assignment, it won't be long if you consistently and faithfully do what God's called you to do, that you're going to be honored, because your loyalty is going to show your faithfulness, it's going to show your commitment, it's going to show your dedication, your stick-to-itiveness of doing the assignment. And that's so very important. And all of that brings you to honor. Amen. A person who's loyal, they have an unswavering, if that's a word, you know, that's, you know, when you sway going back and forth, they have an unswavering alliance. They're not wishy-washy. They're not, you know, one day they're talking, they're saying one thing, and the next day they're saying something else. You know, their speech is direct, and their purpose is firm. A person who's loyal, they're not going to say one thing or do one thing and then say another. So they're not wishy-washy. Faithful to an alliance, to one, one who's a lawful sovereign government. They're faithful to an alliance, and they're faithful to a lawful sovereign government, or you could say God's sovereign government. They're faithful to a cause, an idea, a custom, an institution, or a product. When you're loyal to a company, something that if your company makes a particular product, you're going to be faithful in showing up and giving it your best and your all. Faithful to an assignment. Okay, so these are all definitions of loyalty. One of the things about loyalty is the principal qualification for every minister who commits themselves to serve. I'm going to say that again. Loyalty is a principal qualification for every minister who commits themselves to serve. If you've committed yourself to serve under a man of God or under a particular ministry, you're going to be faithful in that. You're going to serve in the capacity that you've been given an assignment to do. Loyalty will open the door for honor, just like humility. We talked about in the last several weeks how humility before honor is humility, walking humbly in what God's called you to do. And I stated that humility is really doing, you know, a lot of times people look at humility and a person who's humble, they look at it as a weakness. But I said it's not a weakness. It's a strength, because you're following and you're doing and you're committed to what you're doing, and you're doing it humbly without looking for recognition or any accolades or anything like that. And by doing so, God says, you know, before honor, there's going to always be humility. Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. We talked about that. But yet and all, God used him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Why? Because Moses did what God commanded him to do. When you do what you've been assigned and what you've been given a task to do, you're walking humbly before the person that you're serving. In an allegiance, there is loyalty to commitment of a subordinate to a superior, or an individual to a group, a cause, or a vision. Okay, an inexperienced person may think that people who are more gifted, more talented, are those who should be in leadership positions. You know, sure, you know, your gift will make room for you. Sure, talent is God-given. But if you're not loyal, if you're not committed, if you don't have sincere loyalty, you know, you might not necessarily be the best person. I know a lot of people who had talent just coming out of their ears, anointed in song, anointed in music, anointed in all kinds of aspects of ministry. But their loyalty, they had an issue with their loyalty, you know, and before long, you know, their own agenda comes out. And before long, you don't see them no more. Why? Because there was no loyalty. And that'll eventually lead to dishonor. You'll eventually disqualify yourself because of a lack of loyalty. You know, and what we want to do, one of the aims of this school is to teach each and every student and to instruct them in what it takes to be successful in ministry, what it takes to serve properly, to serve honorably, you know, to serve with loyalty and dedication and commitment. Because one of the things I've learned over the course of the last 25 years of being here at Word Life Christian Center, that when you're called to a ministry, or called to an anointing, or called under a pastor, well, that gift is going to have everything you need to sustain you, to not only just sustain you, but to put you in a position of authority and blessing and peace and joy and victory and health and healing for your life. Mm-hmm. That anointing has everything you need if you're faithful to it, you know. And people need to, you know, and when they see us walking in that vein, then other people will take notice and flow in it. You know, I know people who personally told me, God sent me here. You know, God supernaturally uprooted me and my family right here, you know. And they come, they even become a part of the school of ministry, you know. And then after the first year, I need to go spend time and visit some family members. Fine, you know, I see you when you get back. But now the school's starting. Where are you at? Well, I decided to stay and spend more time, you know. But you told me, God, you know, you're in the school, you know. And yeah, but I'll be back, you know. And all of a sudden, a year go by, 2 years go by, you know. And then the next thing I know, you know, your family is all in shambles, you know, because you left where God sent you. And I mean, I've seen it more than once where people got, you know, they took the wrong path. You know, God put them on the right path. And because the loyalty wasn't there, because they allowed something or someone or a situation or some of the things we're going to talk about, you know, offense or something, veered them off the path of righteousness, off the path that God has set them to walk. And each and every situation is not going to, you're not going to reach your destiny. You know, and some people, they get back on track, but now you got to pick up where you left off. It's better to stay on track. You know, the quickest way between two points is a straight line. You know, if I wanted to go to New York, I wouldn't go by way of going down to South America. It would take me a whole lot longer. But I mean, I'll take a beeline from here straight northeast. That'll take me straight up to New York. You know, if I wanted to go to Los Angeles, California, I can get on Interstate 10 right out of here and stay on Interstate 10. But now if I veer off to Interstate 75 or Interstate 55, I'm going to Chicago. You know, I'm out of the way. And so now you gotta backtrack. I've seen too many people backtrack in ministry, backtrack in life, but by taking the wrong path and not sticking with what the No, God will not change his mind on what he called you to do. You know, you'll change your mind, but he'll never change his mind. You know, and so I tell people, what was the last thing God told you to do? Go back and pick up the last assignment, the last instruction that your pastor or Lord told you to do, and stay there until you get further instruction. You know, don't you promote yourself. You got too many people promoting themselves and using the guise of what the Lord spoke to me and the Lord said, you know. But I thought you told me he said this. You know, well, you know, he gave me, you know. No. God don't make mistakes. You know, not the God that I serve. You know, and I'm just saying this, you know, because a lot of times it's a loyalty issue of not being completely loyal to the assignment and to the man of God and the ministry that God has called you to. Don't make the mistake. The Bible teaches that the cardinal requirements, listen to this, the cardinal requirements, one of utmost importance for leadership, you know, is that a person be found faithful, first faithful before anything else. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, one of a familiar verse of scripture. We've talked about it before. The King James Version says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required that a man be found faithful. I want to read the Amplified in that. The Amplified Bible says, so then, let us apostles be looked upon as ministering servants of Christ and stewards or trustees of the mystery, the secret purposes of God. Now, an apostle is a steward, a trustee of the mysteries. The mysteries are the secret purposes of God. And it says, moreover, it is essential, required of stewards and even those who serve under apostolic government that a man be found faithful, proving himself worthy of trust. Proving himself worthy of trust. You know, one of the ways to walk in honor is being a trustworthy person. When you give somebody your word is your bond, and they can take it to the bank, and there's trust there. You know, that's so very important. One thing I always share with my son, don't never go back on your word. If you give somebody your word is your bond. Your word is who you are. You know, you want to hold faithful to your word. You know, that's so very important. You know, the Bible says God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, he'll make it good. And guess what? We were created in the very image and in the very likeness of God. And if we want results in our lives, we have to be, you know, people committed and faithful to our word. Amen. But as a steward, we are to be found faithful. And I said faithful meaning faithfully proving ourselves worthy of trust. Any person that operates in disloyalty is in the beginning stages of walking in dishonor. And if not turned and put back on track, they will walk right into dishonor. They will dishonor themselves because of not staying loyal, not staying committed, not staying trustworthy. And it's so easy. And one of the things I found, and I'm a stickler for it, I don't associate, hang around, spend much time with, have a whole lot to do with anybody who talks negatively about my man of God or the ministry that God's called me to. I have no time for you, you know, because you have no clue what you're saying, you know. Now, if you want to listen, you know, and gain some understanding, is different. But if you got your mind made up and you don't think that the message or the man or the ministry is any good, well, then I have no time for you. Because anything that you hear, you got to deal with. You know, I'll never forget years ago, there was a couple that left the church, and not long after they left the church, they had invited us to a Christmas party or some type of party. And my wife, we kind of talked about it, but all of a sudden we said, we're not going to go. I said, no, we're not going. You know, I know we've been places with them, traveled with them, spent time with them. They've been to our house. We've been to their house. We've ate out with them. But now they've parted ways. You know, so after that, really, I hate to say it, we really didn't have nothing in common. You know, and that's you know, the man of God told them, I need you. From the pulpit, I need you. Don't leave. So they left. And so now they're inviting us to a party, you know. Can't come, can't go. You know, other members of the church who were invited went to the party. And guess what happened? Somewhere in the midst of the party, somebody started talking about the apostle, you know. And I said, I am so glad I wasn't there, because I would have had to, you know, excuse myself and disrupt that party because I had to go, you know. But, you know, I'm just, you know, loyalty, you know. Loyalty will lead you to dishonor. It'll lead you to dishonor, you know. And sometimes in our hearts, you know, I like what David said in Psalms 139, Lord, search my heart, you know, and see if there be any wicked way, any thoughts, anything, any negativity or any, I may not understand. You know, one thing I tell people, if you don't understand something, you know, that your man of God is ministering, you know, pray about it. And sometimes you might have to just put it on the shelf. Lord, I don't understand it. But as I grow, I know you're gonna reveal it to me. Yeah, I'm not gonna just throw it out, because, you know, I'm trusting my man of God. And that's the way we have to be. You know, that don't make no sense. You know, when our man of God started talking about grace, I mean, when he talked about the cross and he got rid of the cross, my wife had a cross somewhere in the house and she got rid of the cross. She turned it into the church, get the cross out the house. You know, and then he came back on some things, and I was looking at the cross. That's the same cross you took off. She still hadn't put it back on the wall, but it's back in the house. You know, but it was just it's following. You know, and one of the things I thank God for our apostle, if the Lord corrects him, and he says something in public, he's gonna repent and apologize and make the correction in public. You know, I don't know if you've been watching the Supernatural Money Coming to You conference. I'm kind of getting off the subject, but it still falls in line with what I'm talking about. We were in Heflin, Alabama, and he was planning on flying in and flying out, because there was no really nice, you know, 4 or 5 star hotels in that area. You'd have to either be in Atlanta or probably Birmingham, which either was over a little over an hour away. So he was going to fly in and fly out. But because they were having some issues either with the plane or the weather, he decided to stay in that area, stayed at a hotel, and the Lord got on him about it. You know how Jesus, walked out and went and slept in just anywhere, you know, but he was on his assignment doing his job. And the Lord said, you know, if Jesus can do it, you know, what about you, you know? And he repented. He said, Lord, wherever you call me, I'm going to stay in that area. You know, if there's a nice hotel there, yeah, I'll stay there. Excuse me. But if it's, you know, if it's a Best Western or Motel 6, that's all they got. I'll make do, you know. And I respect that. You know, we have to be committed to the assignment. You know, let me move on. Disloyalty. Disloyalty breeds strife. It breeds hatred and murmuring. Disloyalty breeds strife, hatred and murmuring. Those disloyal sentiments is like smoke that fills an entire house. The only way to get rid of the smoke is to get rid of the fire. You know, disloyalty is like smoke that fills an entire house. And the only way, I mean, if there's a fire, if you eliminate the fire, the smoke is going to go, you know. But if the fire's still there, it's going to consume the building with smoke. Let's see. You know, if you're loyal to a person, you'll never talk about them. If you're very loyal to a ministry or an assignment that God has called, you'll never talk about that ministry or that assignment behind that individual's back. You'll stay committed. Okay, this is something else that's very important. People in leadership roles. Now, this is something that wasn't in the book. This was me. People who are in leadership role whose hearts are not in the work of the ministry, they need to be encouraged to either step down or leave the ministry. If your heart, if you're in leadership where you're before people and you got people under you, if your heart is not in what you're doing, you need to either step down or leave the ministry, because you're going to influence people in a negative way. Because what's on you, if not careful, going to be rubbed off on them. Because they're going to feel your vibes, because they're looking at you for leadership. You know, so people who are in leadership. Now, if you're a member and you're new and you just got saved and you might have some things, that some kinks that you're still working on your soul, that's understandable. You know, but if you're in a leadership role, people in leadership role whose hearts are not in the work of the ministry need to be encouraged to step down or leave the ministry, because if their hearts cannot be turned, because they will cripple the ministry. If their hearts are not with the vision, they will negatively influence other members. You know, here again, it's an area of being loyal. One of the things that have helped me to walk in honor is seeing the consequences of what happens to people who walk in dishonor, who people I personally know, seeing them fall off the track, fall off the bus, you know, and seeing the outcome in their lives, you know, and knowing it didn't have to be this way, you know, but continually being loyal. You know, I'm going to share this one in situation, and I'm going to move on because I have a lot to go, but I said I was going to slow it down. I'll never forget this one particular situation. I was in prison ministry, and I had just left an institution, and the chaplain there told me about a particular individual who was a member of this church. He said, I heard Brother so-and-so started a church. I took over a church in the area. I said, no. I said, he's a member of the church. You know, far as I know, he hasn't taken on a pastorship. So, yeah, so it's people all in the community talking about it. I said, well, that's news to me. And I left the facility, and I knew where he stayed. So I said, well, I was only 15, 20 minutes away from him, so I drove to his house. I said, Brother so-and-so, is this true what I heard about you? I said, does Pastor know about this? And now he kind of, well, no, I hadn't told him yet, but I said, you need to sit down and talk to Pastor before you accept any church. You know, you need to make sure you have your man of God's blessing. And then he started to telling me, well, you know, I've been faithful to the ministry, you know, but I, you know, I don't feel like I've been respected like I need to be respected. You know, I've been more faithful than one of his sons. I say, hold up. I say, you messing up and you about to lose your inheritance. That was the exact words I told him. You know, a minister friend of mine told me they saw him a while back and he was still looking for something to do, you know, just way off in Texas somewhere doing nothing. You know, doing nothing. The last time I saw him, I asked him, I said, have you been doing any ministry since you left the ministry, you know, the church? He said, no, you know, just going around in circles. You know, a song, I think, I don't remember, Billy Preston, here we go around in circles. You know, people who get out of the vision and the plan of God for their life because of this Lord, they're just going around in circles, just spinning their wheels, you know, not being productive. I've seen it too many times. You know, I'm just telling you what I'm now from what I read, from what I've seen, people I know personally, you know, loyalty. You want to be loyal. Loyalty will lead you into honor. It will every time, you know. All right, let's move on. And I already talked about Judas, but I want to let's see here. One of the things that helped, okay, I just shared that. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me, Matthew's 12 and 30. Judas walked in disloyalty, which means he wasn't totally loyal to Jesus, meaning he was against Jesus or the assignment that Jesus, it just took a while for it to come out. Eventually, even the subtleties of disloyalty will come out. A person may say something. Matter of fact, the couple who I shared the information about earlier who had the party, I remember we were having a meeting in Baton Rouge years ago. The apostle had a meeting at a hotel in Baton Rouge. And what was it there? It was at another spot. But this particular individual, we were about to start up our cell ministry again. And they asked me, says, are you guys going to be cell leaders again? And I said, yes, we're, you know, they called us and they wanted to be cell leaders. And the comment was, you just itching for abuse. I looked at the person, what you mean? You know, you just, you know, you're being abused again. You know what I'm saying? You know, I just shook my head and just walked away because it baffled me, you know. But see, that was subtleties of disloyalty. There were subtleties of disloyalty. Eventually, what's in a person's heart going to come out of their mouth. You know, I'm just being honest with you. Eventually, what was in a person's heart is going to come out of their mouth. And once that happened, I mark them, you know, and I keep my distance. Because, you know, like I said, you got to deal with it. You got to deal with those disloyal thoughts, those disloyal attitudes, you know, because you don't want nothing to hinder your progress. You know, you don't want nothing to hinder what God has called you to do. Because there's always somebody going to say something or do something that all of a sudden, if you start thinking about it too long, yeah, she got a point. Yeah, he got a point. You know, I throw that out. You know, if it don't line up with the word, I'm throwing it out. Amen. Let's move on. All right, here's something that you definitely going to need to know. The core strength of any organization depends on its members walking in loyalty. The core strength, core means the centermost. You know, even on a football team, you know, a basketball team, you know, the members of that team, they got to be loyal to one another. You know, you got to be know that, you know, the quarterback going to do, if he calls a play and if I run my pattern, he's going to be looking for me, you know, and he's going to find the open man, you know. And in basketball, I play basketball, you know, the guards, a lot of times they know who, if so-and-so got the hot hand, even though you might be the leading scorer, but so-and-so, everything he's throwing up, falling in, they're going to be looking for him. You know, it had nothing to do with you, but hey, he's got the hot hand. Let's keep feeding him because it's working, you know. And then all of a sudden, you know, if you open, yeah, you're going to get the shot. But it's teamwork. It's everybody being loyal. The core strength of any organization depends on its members walking in loyalty. those who are faithfully committed to a vision. This is why a leader should only surround himself with faithful and loyal servants, because disloyal people will affect the strength of the organization. Disloyal people will affect the strength of an organization. You don't want disloyalty. And a lot of times I'm not gonna say I look for it, but I'm sensitive to it. You know, when I hear people say certain things, like I mentioned earlier, and then I, you know, and sometimes, like I said, I'll pull a person on the side and I'll talk with them, and I'll say, look, you know, if you can't say nothing good about, you know, this particular person, this situation, don't say nothing. I never forget, I heard Kenan Hagin say that years ago. He said, if I can't say nothing good about a person, if you ask me, do you know so-and-so, to try to get some gossip out of me, all I'll say, yeah, I know him, and he'll shut up. I can't say nothing good about you. Yeah, I know brother so-and-so. Well, what about him? I know him. You know, but that, you keep your mouth off people, you know, I learned that from the apostle, especially men and women in the gospel. You don't want to put your mouth on them. You don't do that. You know, I mean, you're cursing yourself when you do it. You don't want to do it. Amen. All right. Loyalty, without loyalty being the core of every network or organization of churches, they will constantly be in competition, competitive jealousy, dissension, and finally disintegration. Let me read that again. Without loyalty being the core of every network or organization of churches, they will constantly be in other words, they, the people who are not in loyalty, will constantly be in competition, which leads to competitive jealousy, dissension, and finally, it'll cause that organization, if it doesn't get dealt with, it'll cause that organization sometimes even disintegrate, you know, because nobody in there, everybody got their own agenda. What I wanted to say in regards to that, there was something that just came up in my spirit. The Bible says the little foxes spoil the vine. It's those little things. The big things are obvious. You know, you like I said, some areas of dishonor, like Saul's, is obvious, is blatant, you know, cut and dry. You didn't do what you were told to do. But certain things sometimes are more subtle, you know, and a lot of times it's those little foxes, those things that you might seem to have a tendency to overlook, you know, in a person's behaviors or attitude. But, you know, those are warning signs of disloyalty, which will in turn and eventually lead to disloyalty. Hi, am I? That's accurate, that time there? Okay, thank you. They got a big clock. I'm looking at it and just now realized it had my time on it. Okay, praise God. All right, what we're going to be doing, we're going to be talking about 8 stages of disloyalty. We're going to be looking at 8 stages. I'm going to try to cover 2 of them today if I can. But there's going to be 8 stages of disloyalty over the next 2 or 3 weeks. Most people are unaware of the fact that they are becoming disloyal. Some leaders do not even notice disloyalty in their associates. That's why the spirit of discernment is so very important. When you have a spirit of discernment, and that's something you don't turn on, but you know, a lot of times, if you're in leadership or you're a pastor, God will give you that spirit of discernment so that you can discern, you know, when a situation or when a person or when a situation is not like it should be, or a person is not totally committed or have some ulterior motives. I'll never forget, oh, Lord Jesus, probably 10, 12 years ago, maybe, I was going through some challenges, and it was just me growing spiritually, hungry to do the things of God, wanting to kind of just get where I want to be earlier than what I should be, or for whatever reason. But I never forget one service. The apostle looked at me, and he pointed at me. He said, "Come here," and he pulled me to the side of the pulpit. He says, "Son, are you all right?" He said, "Have anybody wronged you?" He said, "If they have, let me know." He said, I just sense that, you know, something ain't right. And I said, no, Sam, you know, but I was in limbo, you know, been involved in a lot, you know, and it just, you know, sometimes you get anxious and you don't seem like nothing happening, and you just see like, you know, Lord, look like you forgot about me, you know. But through the spirit of discernment, the man of God pulled me over to the side and he says, you know, he was just encouraging me. He says, I can tell something's not right. You know, I pick it up in my, he didn't say all that, but that's what, I know that's what he was thinking. And he said, if anybody's wrong you or anything, you know, come see me. In other words, don't let nothing in your heart, no bitterness, no envy, no strife, no dissension stay there. Because it's like a cancer. It's gonna grow and grow and grow, you know, and then before you know it, you're gonna be gone. Because you didn't get that out. Because around that same time, my heart was leaning in another direction towards another ministry. But, you know, because of his sensitivity and discernment, God began to start to let me know his love and compassion for me, you know. Because I never forget, and I've shared this several times, when my wife and I first came and we were counseled by the apostle, he looked at us and he said, you know, come and sit down, and you know, I know you're part of another ministry, but you know, if you want to come and glean from this ministry, he said, son, you really need to be pastor. He said, I'm just letting you know. And then when we finally joined about a year or so later, he looked at me and says, son, you should have been here. In other words, he knew that day, you know. And when God spoke to me, it was confirmed in my heart, but God never changed his mind concerning that, you know. And during that time, I had some passivity and you know, and just yearning to want to do more, you know. But I got back on track. I got faithful, continued to stay faithful, I should say, you know. And over the years, you know, God has blessed me, blessed my family. But it was a matter of continually to you always want to go back and do what David did. Lord, search my heart. You know, if there's anything in me that ain't right, Lord, just take it out, you know, and lead me in the way of everlasting so that I can stay on track. You know, it's good to have a self-evaluation, you know, because when you continue to stay focused and stay loyal and stay doing your assignment, you when you least expect, remember that? I know some of you are younger, you don't remember the candid camera. When you least expect it, smile, you're on candid camera. When you least expect that, God's going to open up an avenue and a door for you, and all of a sudden you say, wow, you know. But it was your loyalty and your faithfulness that caused that door to open. You know, I remember, I'm going to say this and I'm going to move on. We had just left, a man of God was ministering in Las Vegas, and he asked the Master Life Barrister to attend that meeting if they could. So my wife and I, we were in the process of celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary. And we were actually, the meeting was actually initially going to be in Hawaii. But then he changed it to Las Vegas. So we had made reservations, so we had to move our reservations. And because of the time, we, you know, there was finances that were lost. It didn't matter. He said Las Vegas, so there we were. And we were still able to after Las Vegas, leave and go on to Hawaii to celebrate our 30th anniversary. And while I was there, one night I'm sitting, got up early for some odd reason, because there's about a six-hour difference between the States and Hawaii, or maybe even more depending on where you stay. But I got a call, and it was the apostle. And he said, son, I heard you in Hawaii. I said, you enjoying it? I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm changing things up in the school of ministry, and I want you to be one of the instructors. And I'm saying, wow, Lord Jesus. You know, and it's you know, it's years of just being loyal and faithful. You know, years of being loyal and just being faithful. You know, it's so very important. Whatever it is, whatever talent, whatever gift you have, commit it unto the Lord and unto the ministry God called you to. And you see, God is the one that promotes, because he's going to put it on your pastor, your man of God's heart. You know, but you have to stay committed and stay loyal. Let's move on. I got how many minutes left? Seven, six. Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay, the first stage, I can see I want to get to the first stage. The first stage is of disloyalty is an independent spirit. The independent stage is subtle, And most people don't even recognize that they're actually in disloyalty. When a person when a person belonging to a group ministry or company develops an independent attitude, he sort of becomes autonomous within that group. And I'm going to define the word autonomous. Autonomous means responding, reacting, or developing independently of the whole, existing or acting separately from other things or people, having the power or the right to govern themselves, not really wanting to answer to anyone. So a person who's walking in an autonomy or becomes autonomous to a group, they hear their instructions, but they say, well, they don't really apply to me. Give you an example. The man of God says, I want everybody to read the book of Luke. But you say, well, I read Luke last month, so I'm going to read John. So in other words, his instructions don't really apply to me. He'll say, I need you to come on Sundays and Wednesdays so you can get the full everything. But you say, well, I'm just a Sunday person. I'm not coming on Wednesdays. I need my Wednesdays to rest. That's an independent spirit. The man of God has given him something for you, but because of your independence or you being autonomous, well, that don't really apply to me. Last Sunday, one of the things we've been instructed, as long as he's on the stage or in the main auditorium, we don't leave. People get up and leave, and then he'll come out or step back on the corner somewhere and start ministering again for another 32 minutes, like he did last Sunday. And so now people who, sometimes people have to be trained in that, but it's kind of like when you see the majority or you see a certain group that ain't leaving, they're staying there for a reason, because out of his mouth could come the answer that you need, that you've been searching for all your life, but now because you got your own schedule and your own agenda, I got to go, it's 1 o'clock, I got things I need to do, and God is trying to get you to your breakthrough. Amen. Let's move on. I got a few more minutes. A person with an independent spirit obeys only certain instructions, only the ones they think that apply to them or that's important to them. A person with an independent spirit only obeys certain instructions, only the ones they think are really important to them. They don't obey everything. If you belong to an organization, you are not independent of that organization. Therefore, you cannot just do what you want to do, or say what you want to say. You must follow the protocol and the mandates or the dictates of that organization. Loyal members will comply with the dictates that are given to them from the head. Loyal members will comply with the dictates that are given them from the head. But you have disloyal people who, like I said, they're independent, or they think they're independent of the organization, and they think that the rules don't apply to them, so they do what they want to do. That can be a problem, because what happens now is that they're not going to get and receive everything that everybody else is receiving. They're going to walk shy of their blessing. Amen. All right, I'm kind of wrap it down. I'm not going to even get into number two, but I'll give you what number two is. The second stage of disloyalty is offense. The second stage of disloyalty is when a person begins to walk in offense. And offense, the definition that is to cause displeasure and anger or resentment or wounded feelings, hurt or upset over an outcome. You're disgruntled, like a disgruntled employee or a church member becoming agitated, person who's offended. Like I said, when a person is offended, they get off and they end the process of what God is trying to do with their life. They let something throw them off, off, and then they get off-ended. So they get off the track or the road or the path, and they let the offense lead them instead of letting the Holy Spirit lead them and stay in line with what God's called them to do. One other thing. The scripture in Matthew 24 and 10 says that the people become offended. They will start to betray one another. When a person begins to be offended, that's when betrayal. Betrayal is like Judas betrayed Jesus. A lot of times a person will become offended, and instead of, it's time for me to stop, but instead of them staying with the dictates and the mandate of the assignment, they get offended, and now they can easily walk in betrayal. And we'll continue with this next week. Amen.